Okay, so Easter Sunday. Jesus died for me. Jesus rose again for me. Those are the two headings that we're going to look at today. We're going to see what it means, first of all, that Jesus died and Jesus rose again, and how that impacts me. You know, because that's the basis of Christianity, that Jesus died and rose again. For me, there's got to be, as I say, there's got to be, one writer says, there's got to be something objective. So something that's true, like this room objectively is the same as it was. You know, it exists, but my experience of it, which is subjective, is just to me. You know, when I was sat over there, it looked different to what it does now. You know, that sort of thing. So it's objectively true that Jesus died and rose again. But what does that mean to me? Yeah. What's my life impacted on it? How does my life change because of it? So one, Jesus died for me. And we're going to look at three aspects, three verses, and then dwell on them for a few minutes. Each one, as always, each one could be a sermon. Each one could be a book of sermons. But I offer them to you so you may know the comfort that is in Christ and the life that you have in Christ. The first one, Jesus died for me, point one, is Galatians 2:20. It's a very famous verse, and I'm going to read it all out. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Trevor was a leader at SVC a long time ago now, and he said that the New Testament describes Christians in a lot of ways. The most common way it described a Christian was in Christ. In Christ. And that briefly means united to Jesus Christ. Paul uses the metaphor of marriage in Ephesians 5. He says, as husband and wife are united, so Christ and the church are united. So when, which we'll flesh out in the next section, but before we go anywhere, we have to realize everything we are about to look at comes to us because we're united to Jesus Christ by faith.
Amen.
And when I say united by faith, we are clinging to him, but we're not united to him because we cling to him. We're united to him because he clings to us. And so we cling back.
Yeah.
You know, if someone's drowning in a lake and someone throws the ring out to get him, and he grabs hold of the ring and they pull him in and get on the boat, and then he said, yeah, I saved myself, I grabbed hold of the ring. You think, no you didn't, the bloke who dragged you on, or the person who dragged you on, they saved you, you just received it. That's what it is with us, with clinging to Christ. You cling to Christ because he clings to you, and he'll never let you go. So that's basically, I mean, there's, again, that's what Paul's trying to get at in this verse. I've been crucified with Christ. When Christ, you know, there's that African-American gospel song, were you there when they crucified my Lord? In one sense, yes, because you were crucified with Christ. And he says, my old life is gone. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So everything we're about to look at comes to us because we are in Christ. And we're in Christ because he loves us and gave himself for us. So the second point under Jesus died for me is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. On the cross, Jesus Christ paid for all our sins. He could do that. Again, we talked about this last week. He lived the perfect life. He obeyed God's law, as glorious the song that Simone sang before the service. As that says, he kept the law that he himself had authored. God submitted himself to his own law and lived it perfectly so he could be the perfect sacrifice for sin. He was without blemish. He was spotless. And so on the cross, he bore our sins. And God was reconciling us to himself. The cross is the peace treaty between us and God. Once your enemy, now seated at your table, Jesus, thank you. It's a modern song. All our sins and our trespasses are not counted against us. What is counted is Christ's righteousness to us. So, you know, all our trespasses were put on him. He bore the sins of us all. It says in Isaiah 53, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. So when he said, it is finished, your debt to God was paid. Done. When you've paid a debt, if any of you have been in debt, when you pay, it's done. Nobody can ever ask you for that money again because you've paid it. And that's what it is with your sins with Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven. They've gone. To the bottom of the sea, as far as the east is from the west, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And again, his righteousness is counted to us. So when God looks at you, that perfect obedience all through his life, that's counted as yours by faith. Because we're united to him. Think of it like this. Suppose one of these billionaires in IT, Elon Musk or Bill Gates, suppose somebody like that fell in love, came to Lee and fell in love with somebody who lived in the council estate where there's third generation unemployment. And the lady was in £1,000 of debt. Now, if any of you are from a working class background, you know that £1,000 of debt, you're not going to pay that back. People where I work in the factory, I remember saying to one bloke in his 50s, in the 2009 recession, the credit crunch, and I said to him, can I ask you something? He says, well, he says, how much money do you have left at the end of the week? We got paid weekly back then. When everything's paid, he said, when everything's paid, about 25 quid. So that's my treat on Saturday night, a Chinese and a bottle of wine. You know, a bloke in his 50s, worked all his life. So if a person like that is in debt by £1,000, they're never going to pay that back. And suppose Bill Gates or someone like that fell in love with a person like that. Now, when they get married, her debt or his debt will become the billionaire's. Because when they're married, what's mine's yours and all that. The billionaire can easily pay off £1,000 of debt. But the new wife, she gets all his wealth. So it's not just that she has her debts paid. All his wealth is hers. And that's what it is with Christ and the church. All the riches of grace, the unsearchable riches in Jesus Christ, are ours because of the grace of God. That's what it means. That's what we mean when we say Jesus died for me. And the third thing we look at when we're saying Jesus died for us, Romans 6 explains it really well. We can have victory over our sins. Romans 6, verse 8 to 11. I'll read it to you. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead. He will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also consider yourselves dead to sin, dead to the power of sin, and alive to God through Christ Jesus. So Christ Jesus, when he died, we died with him, and our old self died, living the life as slaves to sin. That's gone too. It's gone. If you're a Christian, you're free. You can have victory over your sins. You've died to sin. It's gone. You've been like the slaves when slavery was abolished in various Western countries and empires. The slaves could go free. They lived as free men and women. Some of them, they found it so hard to handle. Jerry Bridges, an American preacher, told a story that came about just after America abolished slavery. The slave was set free, and the slave master wasn't married, didn't have any children, and he left him his estate, and he died the year after slavery was abolished. And the slave had this estate, and he didn't know what to do with it. He said, well, can I have 50 cents to buy some corn? Can I buy some corn? 50 cents it is. The man had just inherited an estate, but he didn't know what to do with it. And sometimes that's how we are as Christians. We don't realize our privileges. We don't realize what Christ has done for us. We don't realize how blessed we are. More than we deserve, more than we can ever imagine. Like that poor slave. That's us in Christ. Our old self has passed away. You don't need to live in fear, in shame, in condemnation anymore. It's gone. Your old self is gone. Even the things that perhaps, because I know many of you, that keep you up at night, you still can't forgive yourself for what you did. Christ says, my righteousness covers you. That old self is gone. It's gone. And it's gone forever. So you are free, my dear friend. Free from condemnation. Free from slavery. And you're a precious daughter and a treasured son. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, that's what you are today, my dear friend. That's what we mean when we say Jesus died for me. We mean we're united to him. We mean our sins are forgiven. We mean we're accounted righteous. And we mean our old self has died. That's what we mean when we say Jesus died for me. And as I say, any one of these points could be a whole sermon. Indeed, in the first time I ever did a sermon series on the first Sunday of the month, we looked at the cross, what Jesus achieved and how it applies to us. And all heaven sings about it and will sing about it forever. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Which brings us neatly, talking about the old self dying, to our second point, Jesus rose again for me. And again, I've got three verses because it fitted really neatly. What does it mean that Jesus rose again for me? Well, at the end, in Romans chapter 4, the final verse, he says this, Jesus was delivered up for our offenses and raised again for our justification. So yeah, Jesus on the cross paid for our sins and was the perfect sacrifice so we could be counted righteous. But a vital part of it is that God raised him from the dead. Now what is justification? Just a little refresher. Get this little book, it'll answer it in a sentence. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 33, what is justification? Justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein he pardons all our sins and accepts us as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ reckoned to us and received by faith alone. We've talked about that when we looked at Jesus died for me, but How does the resurrection impact this? Well, here's the thing. God raising Jesus from the dead is saying, I've accepted his sacrifice. It's his stamp of approval. It's him saying, yes, he's paid the price, and I declare him as completely righteous. His work is complete and finished now. And so that's the righteousness we stand in when we stand justified. It's the righteousness he has as a completed, his work is complete, the work is finished, it's done, and it's that righteousness we stand in. The finished work of Christ. And that's where we are in Christ. That's God saying, I've accepted his sacrifice. So again, if you're struggling to forgive, if you're struggling with guilt and fear and shame, look and see the empty tomb. Christ's sacrifice was accepted, and your debt has been paid, and you have all the riches of Christ. The empty tomb shows you that. No fear, no condemnation, none of it. Light, love, joy, and liberty. Yes, hardship, but no condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. The second thing we think of when we say Jesus rose again for us is that we rise with him. We rise with him. Again, we died with him and we'll rise with him. Paul says in Romans 6, verse 4, we were buried with him in baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Baptism, we've talked about this a lot, because many Christians stumble over this verse. It doesn't mean you're born again when you're baptized. Baptism is the outward sign of it, like your wedding ring is a sign of your marriage. But baptism portrays that spiritual reality that our old self died, and we've been raised with Christ forever. And because we've been raised with Christ, we walk in newness of life. Paul talks about this at great length in Colossians 3. He says, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things of the world. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Then he goes on to say, put to death the sin in your life. Put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, humility, kindness, patience, all those things. Put off the old self and put on the new. And the fact that Jesus rose again means we can do this. Why? Because we've been raised with him. It's a challenge as well. There's no excuse to carry on in sin. Christ rose from the dead. Yes, you may need help in some things, addictions and habits, but you can know freedom because Christ has been raised. There's wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb to set us free, and the resurrection proves it. We can walk in newness of life. Why? Because Christ was raised for us. And the same spirit that raised him from the dead lives in you. So you can put to death the deeds of the body and put on Christ and be conformed to his image. In dependence on him, of course, but putting to death the deeds of the body in his strength. What else do we mean when we say, Jesus rose again for me? It means we have a glorious future. Romans 6, verse 5. This is where Paul wraps everything up. It's brilliant, Romans 6. It's a brilliant chapter. It explains so much He says this, Romans 6, verse 5, if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. So Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the power of the Spirit to the glory of God, never to die again. A glorious new body. He was exalted to the right hand on high, crowned with glory and honor. All things will be made new in him, and we will be raised with him, and we will be glorified with him forever. So we have a blessed future because Jesus Christ rose again. We have that resurrection and that glorification that he has. That's ours. Why? Again, we're united to Christ. We're his bride. When the marriage happens, the two people in the marriage, again, become owners of everything that each other has. There's no I, it's us now. And that's how it is with Christ and the church. Everything that he has is yours. So we will be united with him in a resurrection like his. This is the glory of the gospel. So when we say Jesus rose again, we're looking past. We're justified. We're looking present, into the present, our sanctification, being made holy, being made like Christ, and future, our glorification, when we'll put off the old self forever, if he comes back before we die, or if when we die, our resurrected body will be united to our spirit, made perfect, and all things will be made new. So what did Jesus rose again, what difference does that make? It means past, I'm right with God, present, I can live right for God, and in future, I will be glorified to the glory of God. My friend, is this your hope today? Are you a Christian? Do you know something? I don't know everything about what I've just explained. I don't know it here in my head. I could still read more and give more sermons. And I don't know it here in my heart as well as I could. And certainly not as well as I should. I'm a sinner. But I know it. Do you know it? Do you know something of Jesus dying for you? Seeing his broken body on the cross, reading about it in the scripture, seeing the broken bread of the Lord's Supper and seeing the broken body of Christ and looking at it with a broken heart and seeing the bleeding Christ looking at him with a bleeding heart. Do you know something about taking Christ as your Savior and saying, Jesus died for me, nothing in my hand I bring, only to your cross I cling? Do you know something of being able to say, as City of Light do, not I, but Christ who lives in me, like Paul said in the first verse quoted, that you can go on walking in obedience, in newness of life, whatever the cost, and there will be a cost. There is a cost to being a Christian. But knowing that we can count the cost, why? Because Christ is in us, the hope of glory. Knowing that we can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Knowing that we have an eternal inheritance kept in heaven, imperishable, unfading and undefiled. Kept by the power of God. Knowing that there's a mansion for us, built by the Lord Jesus Christ, purchased by his blood, and that he'll return and take us to be with himself forever. Do you know something of that? If not, we'd invite you to come to Jesus Christ this very day. Just want to praise you, amen? And if you do know something, grow in knowledge of this. Grow in it. Eternity will be gazing on the glory of Christ forever, and we still will find new things. So get to know him now. And walk in newness of life with a lightness in your step, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen.
Amen.